Good morning. We're continuing this morning with our presentations. Let's see, blank. There we go. Hey. Continuing this morning where we left off, I guess last week, wasn't it? So just a quickly we'll go through the slides we went through last week, just kind of skip through them. And, oops, yeah. Wow, okay, remember the who, what, when, where, why, everyone, preach always, everywhere, for Christ and souls with fervor and zeal, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And, let's see here. Now this isn't wanting to work. All right. God's people. Let's see if we got this. Everyone who professes the truth should be a living preacher. We're all to be preaching. Our talents will increase as we use them to win souls. And we looked at the concept of 4 months to the harvest that Jesus said. You know, in that at the woman at the well, you know, say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. And so we looked at here in Christ's object lesson. It mentions that says, as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth, as in the natural. So in the spiritual sowing. The teacher of the truth must seek to prepare the soil of the heart. He must sow the seed. But the power that alone can produce life is from God. So we have a part to play in preparing the soil. We have a part to play in sowing the seed. God is the only one who can actually bring that seed to life in the heart and soul of a person. But we have a part to play in that process. And as in the natural sowing, so in the spiritual, there's a cycle. And we looked at preparing the soil, planting, cultivating, harvesting, and preserving. That there's a cycle. That evangelism is not an event, but it's a cycle where we go through to prepare, sow, cultivate, harvest, and preserve. And you're not done when you preserve, because then you got to prepare the soil for the next planting, right? So the same is true in the spiritual realm. We need to be going through the cycle on an ongoing basis. We must continue the cycle. And we looked at a typical evangelistic series where it's an event, an evangelist comes in, does his speaking, and leaves, and so do the people. Because they were bonded with the evangelist. And it typically costs a lot. There ends up being negative feelings because the people who came in are gone because there was no connection with the people in the church. And we looked at that people are not static. People have different cycles. Everybody's at a different place in their life. And that we need to work with them where they are and prepare and work in the church to prepare and have things ready for wherever people are in their walk. And we got to this application, preparing the soil, and then sowing, cultivating, and harvesting. And then there's a main focus here, harvesting meanings. That's what we typically call evangelism, is just that one section. And that's not supposed to be the only thing. That's only supposed to be more like a reaping series. Reaping from the work that has been done before. And so there's a couple of different ways of looking at it. Here in the linear program, basically in Acts chapters 1 through 5, we have the disciples are doing everything. Right? They're leading out, they're doing everything. Everything comes from the work of the disciples. In other words, this is like a leader or pastor directed, and you can only really work one program at a time. So, a 5-day plan, nutrition or cooking classes, weight control, Bible seminar. So you might have one, and then following that, after a short period of time, you may have the next one, and then the next one, and going through. And then there's what happened in Acts chapters 6 through 28 is the laity went out and started doing the preaching, and everybody was involved. And so you can have multiple programs going on at the same time. Different ones in their ministries that they're working on. And so here are some examples. You know, the five-day plan, nutrition cooking class, weight control, a Daniel seminar, pathfinders, stress seminar, archaeology seminar, revelation seminar, bread making, all kinds of different things that can be used as tools, different programs, and depending on where the person is in their cycle and in their walk, you plug them into what's appropriate for them. It may be multiple things, depending on the individual. Some people aren't ready to come and study the Bible. They're not ready for a Daniel or a Revelation seminar, but they're ready for a five-day plan or for a weight loss seminar or stress seminar, something along those lines. And the purpose of those, remember the purpose of every enterprise in which we engage is to win souls to Christ. And so we put on the programs, but the programs aren't to be an end in themselves. They're to be a means to bringing people to Christ, to awaken an interest in them, if they don't already have one, to help to awaken an interest in them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these are more team-directed. You have a team instead of a leader who's the one leading out in every single program. Here you have a team where different people may be leading out in the different programs. And this is probably more appropriate in a church setting rather than having just the pastor lead one program and then another. Here we have different people within the church leading out in different programs to help to bring others to Christ. And this is a sample calendar, and at some point I may get copies of this printed out so that you can have this in hand, because there's a fair amount of information on here. I didn't get that done this morning. But here's a typical schedule. You can do it on 6 months or a year. And this is the 6 month schedule for that ongoing cycle. That it's evangelism is a way of life. It's what we do. It's what we're here for. It's not an event we do once in a while. But it's an ongoing thing. It's the focus of the church. It's why the church is here. And so, to begin with, we start with, at the beginning, usually there's some at a board meeting, and then there's getting the whole church involved at a commitment Sabbath, preparing, committing, and preparing for the what's coming, what we're going to be doing through the whole cycle here. And on that commitment Sabbath, a commitment service, the members getting involved, presenting what the different levels of involvement, the different things that members can be doing, and getting them and set up training classes. So we get classes going. Once we commit to a series and we get people lined up into what they're wanting to do, we start training. And this kind of thing is a training program for that as well. And of course, a fellowship meal. Then, so here, overall, the 6 months, we have this Sabbath here, and then the second week, we actually start doing training classes for visitation and Bible studies, the health classes, etc., training in those things, organizing who's doing what, interest pool, start studies. We go through our interest list. We should, as a church, keep an interest list and be going through and looking, going back and looking at that and adding to it and keeping it updated as a church. And it should be something that we would then review from time to time to see where people are, where the interests are, what's been happening with them. And start studies. So we should be starting, looking at the very beginning over here, starting studying Bible studies. End of second week, start midweek evangelistic meeting. So one of the things that we do is that midweek service becomes an evangelistic tool that you are inviting some of the people that you're working with already, that you, some of the interests, you're bringing them to that midweek meeting. And it gets them started coming to the church, even though they're not coming for the church service, they're coming to the Wednesday evening. Okay, we're setting up a budget for the whole process, figuring out where we're meeting, and beginning a prayer emphasis. Prayer is very important in the whole process. Okay, during this next time block here, Bible studies and community outreach. This is about 2.5 months. Okay, for 2.5 months, you're preparing, you're working with, you're conducting Bible studies. We already did some in Dunsmuir. We went out, something that we did there in door-to-door to a weekend drive to increase viewing or listening audiences, to get people watching 3ABN, to increase awareness of it. And we did that in Dunsmuir. Health classes. This is where we plug in some of those cultivating programs. Programs to help people that have some interest, they have some needs, and this is where we, like I think I mentioned last week, and now I just, this week I found about two or three more people who are looking, so that makes about 6 or 7 people so far that are wanting a stop smoking program. So, our health committee, we need to put something together for that. So health classes, children's ministries, other programs, a variety of different, you know, examples of cultivating programs. And we start preparing the actual preparation. If somebody is preparing new messages, putting together messages or whatever, this is a time where they need to be doing that preparation and going over things that will be a part of the actual harvest series. It doesn't mean that there won't be some harvest before, won't be harvest after, but that's the main harvest series. And then getting teams organized and the duties for the individual teams. And, you know, there's teams for different things, such as for the greeters, for those who will be up in the platform, music, different teams involved in the including visitation teams and so forth for working with the people. So that there's different teams getting organized by with a leader and so forth, and what each individual's duties will be. And then the last couple of weeks, D here, is a time of more intense visitation in inviting people and to come to a series, come to the meetings. If we're have Bible studies going on, or we're talking to them and getting them interested in coming to the meetings, we're talking to and visit each of our interests we want to make contact with during that time multiple times. We want to have, if at all possible, multiple contacts during that 2-week period in order to bring them to the series. And that multiple contacts is important. Usually it takes about 3 or 4 contacts, in 3 or 4 either seeing, you know, an invitation in the mail, a personal invitation, hearing it on the radio. It takes usually about 4 different invitations of some kind to get people there. Not always. There are people who you tell them once and they'll be there, but we want more than just those. Right? Everybody. Christ died for everyone, and we're trying to bring as many as possible. And so those 4 contacts can be very important. So visitation, sending a letter, personal invitation if you're studying with someone. And then during the actual harvesting series, that approximately a month. Basically, that's the focus of the church during that time. Other programs are on hold because the church is focused on the series. They're focused on working for the souls who are coming to those meetings. And so that's where the whole focus needs to be. And if we had other things, other programs that we had going on before, we can take that time and energy and put it into the series and those who are coming to work for their salvation. Okay? And everybody, this is, it's a time when everybody should be out, because this is where, if we haven't made contacts with the people before, there may be some people who will come who we haven't even met. They come from a radio ad or a newspaper ad or a flyer, and we don't have the a personal contact with them. But also, it's a time when those who maybe have, they know one person in the church because they've been dropping off studies and Bible, doing contacts with them, Bible studies with them. They need to make develop relationships with people, other people in the church as well, so that you have, you know, three or four people in the church that they become familiar with and know. So we need to be developing the friendships during that time. And so everybody should be coming out and helping and working and trying to meet and greet and become friends with the people that come. Okay, now especially the visitation team should work closely with the pastor or evangelist or both, depending on what the circumstance is. If the pastor is doing the preaching, then he's also the evangelist, so there would be one. If there's an evangelist in the past and there's no pastor at the time or whatever, then you have one. But working together with them in the visitation and coordinating things. You know, there will be times when the people that the visitation team are working with will need to connect the evangelist or pastor with the person that they're working with, in addition to them doing visitation. Okay, then following that is we have follow-up, and it's where usually we do something like we'll have a Bible marking to help people go back through the things that they've learned. They've learned a lot of things, and they're excited about what they've learned, and so they've made some commitment, but now they don't necessarily remember all they've learned, or how can I share this with somebody else? I mean, it was nice, but I don't know where in my Bible any of this stuff is. And so going through and doing a Bible marking class, helping them to go back through the same material again, helps to solidify it in their minds, and it gives them a tool with their own Bible that they can share the same things they've learned with others. And then also getting them involved in starting the next cycle with the visitation, getting into starting with those cultivating programs again, and which would include the door-to-door as well as the programs in the church. One of the keys, though, also, and we'll look at this a little more in the future, but just to close with, is personal preparation. In everything, the personal preparation is key. 1 John 1, 1 through 3. And this, we've just been reading through 1 John, right? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. So here John is speaking from a personal experience, right? And this is what it is to be for each one of us, is to be a personal experience. It's the things that we personally have heard, have seen, have looked on, that our hands have handled of the word of God. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So here, the idea is John is not sharing something that he doesn't have a personal experience with. He's sharing his personal experience with Jesus, with the people to whom he's writing and he's ministering. And that's what it needs to be for each of us. We have to have that personal experience with Jesus Christ. We have to have that personal experience in the Word to know for ourselves. And we can take that and share that with others. That's what we are to be sharing. Two quotes here. As witnesses for Christ, we are to tell what we know, what we ourselves have seen and heard and felt. If we have been following Jesus step by step, we shall have something right to the point to tell concerning the way in which he has led us. We can tell how we have tested his promise and found the promise true. We can bear witness to what we have known of the grace of Christ. This is the witness for which our Lord calls, and for want of which the world is perishing. So what testimony is it? It's our own experience, what we have seen and heard and felt in following Christ, how he's been faithful to us and his promises have been come true to us. That's the what witness we are to be sharing with the world. And because we as a people haven't been sharing that witness, the world is perishing. Prayer is the breath of the soul. Now, I just went up Mount Shasta this week, so I understand a little bit about what lack of oxygen does to the body. It makes you rather lethargic. You don't have the energy to do what you really are wanting and trying to do. There's a saying, some of you may have heard, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret of spiritual power. No other means of grace can be substituted, and the health of the soul be preserved. Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life and strengthens the sinew and muscle of the religious experience. Neglect the exercise of prayer or engage in prayer spasmodically, now and then, as seems convenient, and you lose your hold on God. The spiritual faculties lose their vitality. The religious experience lacks health and vigor. Prayer is an integral part of an experience with Christ. It's a necessary. Prayer should be a part of our everyday experience, and even more so as we are involved in working for the salvation of souls. There was one more. It is only at the altar of God that we can kindle our tapers with divine fire. It is only the divine light that will reveal the littleness, the incompetence of human ability, and give clear views of the perfection and purity of Christ. It is only as we behold Jesus that we desire to be like him. Only as we view his righteousness that we hunger and thirst to possess it. And it is only as we ask in earnest prayer that God will grant us our heart's desire. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we need to keep talking to him and asking him to give us that righteousness, to give us a greater view of him and his righteousness, and fill us with that righteousness. Okay, we need to split up for our classes, but before we do, I invite you to join me for a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love for us. We thank you that your Son left heaven to come and search for us who were lost and dying in this world. Lord, help us to have that personal experience with you that we need. Help us to have the prayer life that we need, to keep our eyes upon you. And we ask that you would consecrate us, each one, to working for souls around us that are dying. Lord, give us that hunger and thirsting after righteousness and the love for souls that you have. And help us to follow your will, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.